there's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
What is wrong with you tonight? I can't seem to say or do the right thing. Wanted to be sure you're feeling right. Wanted to be sure that we want the same thing. She said, I can't believe it. You can't possibly mean it. Don't we all want the same thing? Don't we? Who said anything about love? No, not love, she said. Don't you know that it's different, girl? Don't give me love. No, not love, she said. Don't you know that it's different for girls? You're all the same.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all four corners of the globe on this greenish-blue planet hurling through outer space that we call our Earth. Welcome, fans. Welcome to the P2 Podcast. Phil here, thrilled to be with you. Delighted, everyone. Delighted. Hope you enjoyed our last podcast talking about all my recent trip through Tennessee, Nashville, Knoxville, sitting down with the music business insiders, Maddie and Beav and Graffinino there at the hot chicken place talking about the music business. And oh, how the traditional biz is hurting, man. Funds being cut back all the time. You can imagine. You can imagine. Well, this week, what are we talking about, Phil? What's going on? Well, man, I'm swerving in the road here a little bit. Because I thought hit me a few weeks ago, standing outside one of my kids' schools, that was both shocking, and somewhat disconcerting. I wanted to share this observation with you, if I can. You know, a few years ago, I moved back from Nashville, 2000. I moved here to Fort Worth, Texas, right? One of the great cities of this state, of this nation, but a very traditional city. Not much unlike the way I grew up. Dads went to work. Moms worked. A lot of moms worked, too. But, you know, the moms would more or less drive the kids to school, basically, work in the cafeteria, that kind of thing. Well, who comes along to Fort Worth, Texas in the year 2002? But your old friend Phil here. How you doing? Remember me? Phil comes to Fort Worth in about 2002, and what does he do? He's a musician. He is a producer. He's a songwriter. He's a some sort of performer. No one really knows. It's hard to explain. See, I lived in Austin previously in my young married years. Oh, I don't know, 94 to 95 to 2000. Then I was in Nashville for a year. Now I'm in Fort Worth. Well, see, you know, from 95 in Austin and through Nashville 2001. I lived in cities where it was an accepted vocation to say, oh, I'm in the music business. That's why I'm wearing a denim jacket and eating lunch at 3 in the afternoon. And my hair is kind of long. You just go, I'm a musician. You see, I just make my own hours. That was accepted. You can just eat lunch in, at Guero's at 3:30 in the afternoon alongside Charlie Sexton and Joe Ely and Alejandro Escovedo. Just kind of wave to them over there. How's it going, fellas? That was life. Then you head over to Nashville like I did. You know, you go to lunch with Jim Beavers, songwriter. He points out Toby Keith and his manager having lunch, a steak over there at the Longhorns. Hey, there's Keith. Oh, yeah, what's going on, man? Montgomery Gentry making asses of themselves at the bar. That's a true story. Anyway, that kind of thing. No big deal. An accepted mode of work. You could look your neighbors in the eye and say, I'm a musician. I'm a songwriter. They would just go, oh, how nice, you know, how great. Well, let me tell you, when you get to Fort Worth, Texas, kind of an old school western city, Texas town, and people say, what do you do, Phil? I say, well, I'm a musician. They kind of, huh, what? And, of course, many had heard of me already. a few. But anyway, I'd find myself in these lengthy explanations about, well, I travel around, I play, clubs and festivals and fraternity parties and weddings, anything, I just play, and I also got this studio, I record, and I produce bands, and, you know, it brings in a little bit here and here and here, and I got these songs out there, you never know what'll happen with this stuff. You can't really define my sound as one or the other, man, it's just sort of all over the map, you know, all that kind of, I was just explaining to everybody, and oh, bless them all, they've all come to accept me on some level, I believe. But one of the perks of the job of being self-employed, forget the music business, self-employed in any way, was you kind of, quote, make your own hours. You know, you're not headed out to an office every day. I worked nights, I worked weekends, I was gone all weekend. And that's how we rolled, you know. The net result of that was my wife was teaching school. So a lot of times here in Fort Worth over the last 12 years, it's fallen to me, Phil, Dad. Hey, what are you doing today, honey? My wife would say to me. I'm like, well, you know, I got a meeting with this guy and I'm mixing some stuff here. Why? What's going on? Well, you know, one of the kids has a play, or one of them needs somebody to, one parent needs to go help in the lunchroom at the school, or, you know, and my wife's like, you know, I wish I could go, but I'm working and I got, we had babies and all this stuff going on. So it fell to Phil, man. And hey, who am I, right? I love it. Love doing that stuff. So like any good dad of today, I just hopped to. So I was always up at the school occasionally. Phil and his, jeans and pointy boots, sunglasses, leather jacket, you know, whatever. Standing in the second grade lunchroom, they have this little program where you walk around and help the kids open all their lunch, all the packaging on their fruit roll-ups and, you know, whatever, punching straws in the – you had to wear this little apron. But needless to say, I was the only man in there pretty much every freaking time. It was 15 moms, a lot of them in their workout clothes with their 40-ounce Starbucks coffee, you know, and there's Phil, you know, and I must admit I was quite a, I felt like sometimes I was the object of a lot of, humor, a lot of attention, all of it well-meaning. But it was kind of funny. I used to joke about it. I'm like, man, you know, I'm picking up the kids at school. I mean, I'm the only dad there. It's just me and all these moms. And, you know, I was teaching science lab. I was picking the kids up, or I went on the field trip to the zoo, you know, me and about, you know, 20 moms, you know, they're all like, oh, how are you here? What are you? I'm like, oh, this is where I always told my, I'm a musician songwriter story, right? Well, I don't know what's going on. As I said the other day, the world is changing under my feet here. About a year ago, I did a podcast on the great book, Home Game, written by Michael Lewis, who wrote The Big Short, who wrote The Blind Side, who wrote Moneyball. Great writer. Man, he wrote a small book called Home Game, and it's about being a dad in the modern era and the problems that brings. And man, it was profound and hilarious. I suggest any dad out there, go read it immediately. Home Game, Michael Lewis. He talks about how he's married to Tabitha Soren. Remember her, the MTV DJ? Lewis, a very successful writer, but he just talks about everything that I could just totally identify with. How, you know, back in the day, dad knew he went to work and had a scotch. Mom stayed home and took care of the kids and cooked dinner. That was it, right or wrong, argue whatever you want to, but everyone knew their role. Everyone knew their place. There was no discussion about, well, man, should I be doing that? Dad wasn't going, should I make mashed potatoes? All these conversations you didn't have to have back then. Now, when some kid says, hey, Dad, someone's got to go to my play next weekend, I look at my wife and I'm like, we kind of shrug and go, what are you doing? I don't know. Do you want to go? I don't know. Do I want to do it? You know, I'm calling my wife every day. Hey, I'm coming home from this session or whatever. Should I go to the store? Should I go buy stuff? Well, I don't know. I was going to go out here. Well, yeah. So we have constant conversations about who's picking up the kids, who's cooking dinner, who's changing the diapers, who's going to pay the bill. Because we do everything. She works all the time. I work all the time. The kids are everywhere. And there's no roles. And it just lends itself to all this discussion and drama and stuff going on. He just goes, it's exhausting. And Lewis has a funny part in his book about he never feels like he can just lay down on the couch in his own house. Because he says, I feel like if when my wife's around, and they have it seem like they have a really good marriage, you know, as I do. But you still have this pressure, he said. He feels this pressure. He goes, I feel like if it is not immediately apparent by my presence that I am not helping with the kids, you know, I'm not just helping them with their homework or, you know, swimming with them in the pool, or making money for the house, I'm at my computer writing or having a business call on the phone. If I'm not doing those things, I can't just lay down. Then I'm not doing my job. There's an endless, by not having defined roles, there's an endless list of things to do. So he goes, when I'm laying on the couch kind of watching the game, my wife comes in from the store. He goes, I kind of hop up and put on my shoes and kind of, oh God, you know, he kind of runs out and starts mowing the yard just without, yeah, he just kind of bursts out the door. And dude, I can just totally identify with that same feeling. You're just like, hey man, if I'm not bringing in money or helping the kids, yeah, you know, I just can't sit here. I mean, who am I? I mean, my wife's going to be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, she's working too. So this kind of lends itself to this part I'm getting to laboriously here. I don't know what happened. So I was the only dad around, the only songwriter in town before Pat Green showed up a few years later. So I'm walking around Fort Worth, you know, helping out with the kids. I'm the only dad, or one of the very, very few. Well, I've been aware of a change going on. But man, the last time I went to pick up one of my kids at school, I just took note, man. I took note standing out there. I just looked up and down the sidewalk at all the parents picking up their kids from school and just was struck, because who was there, man? Yes, some moms in workout clothes with the 40-ounce coffee, chattering away on the iPhone, texting like mad. They were all there. There were some of them there. But dude, I'm telling you what, every other parent, or maybe a majority, were men of all ages. Some looked like granddads. Some looked like, you know, maybe older dads, but a lot of young dudes, man, young dads, a lot of them in tank tops with a backwards hat, a couple tattoos in the Oakleys, in sandals, at 2:30 in the afternoon, you know, picking up their kid from school, standing out there, texting away like mad, like everybody else. And, you know, I you've heard my, many spiels about clothing. I've always got on boots, jeans, button down shirt, probably a blazer, maybe my, Open Road Stetson hat. I don't know. When I go out of the house, that's kind of how I dress. I mean, I don't know why, but you never know if you're going to run into somebody or have a meeting or say, I don't know. That's how I was raised, for crying out loud. But the moral of the story is I'm looking around. I'm like, man, I used to have total authority on this deal. I used to be a rare species. The man that yet was involved in his kid's life. Isn't that great? He's up here at the school all the time. The janitor and the principal know his name. That was me. Now there's just swarms of dads. Every other person there is a dad, doing what I'm doing. And I felt weird about it. I was like, man, what is going on? When did this start? And questions began. I started trying to trace it back, you know, try to get some historical perspective on it. So I'm very confused by it because I don't know. One of my possible theories, of course, we all know that the women are working just as much as the men these days. So, of course, that's one obvious answer. But that was probably true in 2002, 10 years ago when I came to Fort Worth. And, you know, but it was still mostly moms, man, mostly. But man, a couple things are in play here, and I'll throw this out here for your discussion. And I welcome your emails, phil@philippritchard.com. Give me your feedback on it if you'd like. I will respond.
instantly to your email. Was it, man, a lot of it's got to be with technology. The ability of people now to walk around with their cell phones, cell phone, that sounds even old school, you know, your iPhone, your mobile device, your iPads and such. That is really only come on, gosh, I mean, in its current form, since 2009, 10, something like that, 2008. And we've had cell phones for a long time, but I'm talking, you know, iPhones that can do everything, email, text. It's really become commonplace, of course, here in the last, really just the last 4 or 5 years. That has to have a huge part of it. And I started thinking about all my friends. I'm kind of, as I'm looking at all these young dads, some of whom I know and some of who I don't. But I started thinking about a lot of dads around me and men on my street here. I'm kind of like, you know what? Come to think of it, I see this guy mowing his yard in the middle of the day. I see this guy walking his dog at noon. I run into this guy at Albertson's up at the grocery store buying dinner. And just, hey, Phil, how's it going? Then I go to the school. I run into more dads. I'm like, I mean, the contrast is how my dad grew up, you know, always traveling, just on the road 4 days a week, traveling salesman. My brother, who lives here in Fort Worth, has an executive's job. He's a GM at Benny Keith. And man, he just puts on the tie, goes out the door at 5 a.m. and gets home at 6. You know, I mean, it's just, but man, you kind of look around, you take a step back. You're kind of like, you know what? Those jobs, there's just no question about it. Are just more and more rare, that require that kind of time, that fewer and fewer companies have rented office buildings where they demand people stay all day long in an office. I guess, I mean, every dad I meet out here has their own startup or their own business, or they're kind of a consultant. I've made jokes about my bass player, Blue. He's a consultant, man, very successful. He's got clients. But he's just sitting, he's playing a gig with an earpiece and listening to a conference call. You think I'm kidding? It's the honest to God's truth. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He goes, I'm here on a conference call. He's playing Maria and he's got an earpiece in his ear listening to a conference call. Now, this was at some corporate event where no one was really paying attention. So I just kind of shrugged and kept playing. I was thrilled he showed up on time and was there to play as he always is. But funny, man. And Jay, Blue is a typical example. And Blue is, 32 or so, 31. And he's about the age, I guess, of some of these dads I'm seeing at the school. See, I got married young. My oldest was in kindergarten, first grade. Man, I was only like 30, when I was up there at the school. I mean, it was a bunch of older moms and just, I was a young guy. So now, you know, at 41 years old, there's a lot of dads that are 30, 31, 32, probably picking up their kids at school. And these guys, they're all tatted up and got on the flip-flops and just kind of look at their iPhone. I'm like, does this guy work? Does he? And you talk to some of them and, oh, I'm a consultant or, you know, I got this startup. Like I said, or man, I'm in sales, but, you know, I don't have an office. I just kind of work at home. And so they're all kind of out there. But I didn't know whether to feel good about that or not. I felt a little weird about it. Maybe I shouldn't. I just feel like, gosh, and I'm one of them. Look at me, man. What am I doing here? I'm just here with, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is it used to be a source of pride for me to go to the school. I was the only dad, and I'd kind of keep my chin up, despite the financial horrors of being a musician. Despite the rough roads and all this kind of stuff and the travel, one of the real perks, the real benefits was, but hey, man, I don't have to put on a tie and go to work. I work for myself. I make my own rules. You know, I'm my own boss. That was a big, 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 huge thing. Maybe the biggest thing for me in all this was just that kind of independence and freedom in your life. So that's what I took for granted. So I guess, I mean, I'm happy to see other people doing it. You know, maybe just selfishly, I'm just kind of pissed that I'm not the only guy. But man, there's just more and more of them, man. And none of them have on a collared shirt either. I mean, I sound like a really old guy now. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, they just look like, all they've done today is maybe go for a jog and, take a nap on the couch. This is how they roll. It just puts me on notice, man. I'm just like, man, is this whole, kind of going to work and sit, is that just by the wayside? I mean, you hear more and more businesses, they let me work at home. They just gave me an iPad and people are willing to say, hey man, I'm not getting paid as much and I don't get insurance benefits, but man, I can work at home, make my own hours, and as long as I do my work, everything's cool. You hear that more and more and more. So questions persist. Technology has made it so. I also wonder, and I don't know, Texas has been very lucky with our industry and our growth, people, businesses moving here from all over the country to open factories and, whatever else, businesses, Austin, companies moving here from California to escape, taxes and worker, laws and requirements and, corporate taxes and stuff like that. Texas is a great place to do business. So as a result, after the 2008 crash and the 2008, the unemployment shooting way up and everything, Texas has been largely unaffected. At least statistically, we've done a lot better than the rest of the country has and a lot of other states. I've been very lucky there. But I do wonder if it has accelerated, and I think it has, since 2008. That 2008, in the rearview mirror, even though it's not very far back there yet, might, as we move into a future of just dads and moms doing everything and everyone, a lot, just people working at home and walking around with an iPhone or some kind of deal, that's just kind of how everybody supports themselves. I wonder if 2008 will just kind of be a watershed moment or a point in time in this country. That was kind of my other prevailing thought next to technology was just, man, but the unemployment rate just has shot up. People did. Even around here, people I know got let go. People go, oh, man, my company's cutting back. I got let go. Now, they all are working. They all found other work. But a lot of that, they came off the unemployment rolls, a lot of them. But a lot of them, it was by working part-time or working at home or starting a business or, what do I got to lose? I'll just start, I'll start my own tree trimming business or, I've known guys who've done all kinds of stuff. And you kind of do go back to that 2008 and say, well, he was a corporate guy for this. He was a manager here or there. And man, 2008, yeah, man, I got to let everybody go. And so now he's got he does some, freelance construction jobs or he does, some consulting or he works part-time for this guy or he's on and off again in the landman oil business, does some traveling, but then he's home for several weeks. Insurance adjusters, a lot of those guys who got into insurance, that they'll be home for 4 months and then some big disaster will hit and they'll be gone for 2 months kind of thing. So more jobs like that, man. And some insurance adjuster that hadn't been out on a job in a couple months, he's just gonna put on his shorts and flip-flops and go to his kids' play and go help out in the lunchroom and go pick up his kids from school. I guess that's the moral of the story. And lo and behold, who's going to be sitting there in the open road Stetson and a blazer and boots when it's 105 degrees? It'll be, hey, Phil Pritchett, how you doing out there? So I hope you'll all come say hello. Look for me. I'm out there in front of the school amongst all the dads with the backwards ball caps. It's me, still trying to keep it old school somewhat and trying to keep my identity as a dad about town in a changing world. But I got to say, dads my age, guys my age and older are kind of few and far between out in front of the school. There's a few, but a lot of them look like a retired guy, like maybe a granddad maybe helping out. You see that a lot. Both parents work. There's a lot of grandmas and granddads picking up their kids from school. So, man, this day and age, man, with all the crap we got to put up with, oh, man, costs and insurance and taxes and God knows what else, you just got everybody pulling for you, don't you? Your parents are giving you furniture. If you're lucky, your parents say, hey, do you want this piece of furniture or whatever? Hey, I'll come pick up and stay with the kids. And your wife's working. Man, everybody's just doing everything, you know what I mean? It lends me to just some deeper questions about society, that I hear things I hear my dad and his friends say, back in the day, dad worked, mom stayed home. He goes, but you hear a lot of them say, man, but we didn't buy as much. I'm like, what do you mean? You had stuff to pay for too. Just like we're raising kids. They kind of shrug. My daddy's like, man, but me and my three brothers shared a room. Each of us had like one pair of shoes and, a couple of shirts and, we went to this grocery store every day. We bought fresh food. My mother cooked, and we went to school. Daddy worked. He came home, had a pipe and maybe a beer in the chair, and That was it. We didn't buy Mercedes Benzes. We didn't join country clubs. We didn't know anybody who did. We didn't travel to Europe on vacation. We didn't have cable and internet and hell, even air conditioning. Like a lot of these luxuries we take for granted, they just cost a buttload of money, man. I mean, we're just kind of, well, we got to have this, and this. I'm kind of entering an old man phase now, proudly, and without any apologies, where I want to see how far I can get on nothing or not having things. You know, I'm just, and a lot of guys are like that. We all reach this phase. Me and some other friends of mine in town here talk about it, like, you know, fantasizing about living in some cabin out here on some land and just not having cable or anything. Because, man, you play so many gigs, you work all the time, then you just cut a check for $200 to have cable. You're just like, God, man, I mean, that would have just been unthinkable, man, when our fathers were growing up in the 50s and 60s. I mean, think about that. And I don't know. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm not criticizing it. I don't know. We got all these advances in technology and stuff. But I do think the bottom line is we spend so much more now. And I know there's stuff to spend on. It's good. Oh, man, we got all these advances and computers and all this. I know, man. But on some level, you're just like, you know, do we need all this stuff? Would me and my wife both have to work all day and just scramble if we just got rid of some of this stuff or just lowered all our bills by like $1,500 a month and just went, you know what? Screw work. I'm going to stay home and just we'll just have a garden in the backyard and, you know, watch DVDs and open the windows when it gets hot and turn on the ceiling fans. I mean, is that out of the question? I mean, because I'm telling you what, man, you run yourself ragged, don't we all? Trying to pay for it all. And I don't know. I'm just always fascinated with books like A Home Game and reading these books I read, history books, and how people used to live. And of course, there was many disadvantages back then with disease and technology and all this. And we've made so many advances, but you wonder where the fat is, the things that maybe you could trim back that wouldn't keep us all racing around and, wouldn't mean that. But on the other hand, the other argument is, and I concur with this, is, hey, maybe it's good that the wife works a little, the dad works a little. She's with the kids some, he's with the kids some, she cooks, he cooks. Everybody does a little bit. Maybe that is a more balanced and fair approach moving forward. That to say, man, you know, what's wrong with the dad being able to cook and you know, take care of things around the house a little bit? And what's wrong with the mom being able to go out and earn money and work? And we'll all just pull a little bit. But maybe in the end, we have better lives and none of us are having to work that much. And we all get to spend more time with the kids and doing the things we like to do. Discuss and email me. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. As always, philip.philpritchard.com. Well, folks, that's all the time we have here this week on the podcast. Some dad talk. Phil with the hat and the boots trying to fit in out there and realizing, hey, I'm one of the old guys. And not only that, there's no more women here. It's just all of us men sitting around on our iPhones. No one has a job, or we kind of do. I don't know. We're all consultants and doing startups and things. Good, bad, progressive, I don't know. Let me know. Phil@philpritchard.com. Thanks so much to everybody out there also who have shot me some PayPal cash in the old podcast tip jar. If it's something you feel like you'd like to do, feel free. Just be prepared to get a personal handwritten email from me thanking you for your contribution, no matter what size. So shoot that over to me if you like. P2Podcast.com. That enables us to bring this program to you without doing commercials and sponsors and all that kind of garbage. This is sponsored by you, the fans, who listen to this thing. So I appreciate it very much. Thanks for sending that my way. All of you out there, I hope you all did get my response and thank you email for it. If you didn't for some reason, shoot me an email saying, hey, Phil, didn't hear from you. What's going on? Because I usually just respond to those PayPal notices and it goes to the email wherever it came from. So if there's a problem there, shoot it back for me. Also, man, if you donate now, I will send you a email. I'll attach to it maybe a demo or two, man, of the new album that we're working on. New album. I'm just going to put this out here in the next coming weeks. We're in a band, High-Minded Girl, Gates of Glory. I don't know, probably like seven song EP or so. Coming your way from Phil Pritchard and the Full Band. Some new music to enjoy on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your digital music. So look forward to that, folks. And thanks for the tip jar donations at p2podcast.com. Love you for it. Let us come play for you, folks. That's what the band is meant to do. Hell, we went to Knoxville, Tennessee last week to play a private party. Phil@philpritchard.com or call me 817 733-5256 to inquire about Pritchett and the full band coming to play for your next wedding, ranch party, surprise birthday for that special someone. Whatever it is, let me know. We'll be there. No matter how where it is in the country, no matter how far in advance, let's get it on the books, man, because stuff's filling up all the time. Folks, love it, love it, love it. Honored to be here with you this week, as always, on the P2 Podcast. We'll see you this time next week. Be good to each other out there. Much tougher.
You're all the same. You're all the same.
You're all the same.
You're all the same.
You're all the same.
You're all the same.
Mm-hmm.